The reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. It's on page 995 in the church Bibles if you would like to follow. It's called The Sheep and the Goats. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whenever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Amen.
It's my real privilege to welcome folk from Junction 42. They're going to come and they're going to present to us something of their work and something of the challenge of their work. I think Leah's on her way here. Leah, who's the one with the dark hair, can I just say, she is the proof that you don't have to come from the other side of the Irish Sea to work for Junction 42, because you might begin to think that that's not the case.
Just as they're making their way here, one of the things I wanted to say personally is I've been coming to Whitley Bay Baptist for a little while now, and I wanted to encourage you personally. The kids' work here is amazing. Due to personal sort of circumstances in our own family, we couldn't really find somewhere where littlest Leonie would settle without just screaming the whole way through. And in the summer, she went to the summer scheme that you do on the beach and met Mara Baker, and she met Abby Hawksworth, actually, and really bonded with her. And since then, it's been like a dream. Every day, she asks, "Am I going to church today, Mummy?" It's like, "No, it's school today." So just to encourage you, we battled with her for at least a year and a half, trying to get her to settle somewhere, and it's only here that she's really, not just settles, but absolutely loves it and is learning about Jesus. So personally, I'd like to thank you for that, because it's amazing. But my name is Joanne O'Connor, and I'm the director of Junction 42, so I think there is. The whole mission of what we do is to see the lives of offenders and their communities on release transformed, and it's by the gospel. It is an overtly evangelistic organisation. Although we get involved in different sort of social action things, it's mainly what we do is we're a faith organisation that's telling people about Jesus, and out of that comes some practical help, because the people that we meet have got practical needs. So that's our sort of starting point in a lot of this. Before I show you a little introduction video, just to explain a little bit where we came from, a lot of you might have known us as the Reflex Team of Youth for Christ Northeast, and so the work has been going for about 15 or 16 years. But whenever the local prisons re-rolled to become adult prisons, it no longer sort of became feasible to be under a youth charity because we weren't working with young people. And so over a long period of time, we sort of looked at how we could separate off the two things but still let the work blossom on both sides. And so, you know, we really honour Youth for Christ for the investment that they've given into us. And so Junction 42 was set up about 2 years ago. And the name Junction talks about someone doesn't turn their life around. They just go on a different path, because quite often in the Bible, Jesus says, and the Bible says, that our past is also part of our journey in the future, because it talks about the comfort we have received ourselves, that we're able to use that to reach out and help others. So we very much believe that someone's past, God can use for what he's planned for the future. And 42 is from Isaiah 42, because it's very much part of what we do. But on a practical note, we've got a little video explaining what we do.
Junction 42 is a charity that works in prisons and in the community. The main aim of what we do is to get alongside people, equip them, empower them, and give them the skills that they need.
I've had a few struggles since I've been out, and I've always been there to support us, you know what I mean? Even though I haven't been altogether there, they still never like a partners and thought, yeah, we'll give up on that.
It's opened lots of doors for me, and been a very positive, calming sort of influence.
We're always there for them, we're always helping them, always trying to get them jobs, stability, and look towards the future with God.
Grassroots organisation that's very much part of listening to the people that we work with and being flexible according to the need at the time. For instance, whenever we set up Chapter 1, a cafe in Elgin Square, it was very much in response to, at that time, there'd been a lot of people with employment needs and an opportunity came up, so we were able to work with people and doing it. Our faith is what not just motivates us, but the models and everything that we do is very motivated by providing community, providing support, providing belief in people.
I was very comfortable in my faith, and going into prisons, just doing life with the boys and stuff, it's really stretched me, it's really grown me.
I know that Junction 42 is my home, and even if I've gone through hard times, I wouldn't know what's coming out.
I really feel like I play a role now in helping other people's lives, because my life has been helped.
I knew they were going to be there no matter what, and now they just feel like family. It's absolutely great.
Brilliant. Just to sort of look at the areas that we get involved in the next slide, it sort of talks about this is what we actually do in prison, and we can sort of break down a lot of our activities into three things. One is outreach, and the idea being, you know, in prisons, there's paid chaplains there to do what's called statutory duties, like Sunday services and death of a relative. So we're not going in there and being the only ones that are bringing the gospel, so to speak. So we focus a lot on outreach, going to those parts of the prison where people would think that it's nothing to do with the chaplains. Say we just want to sort of go out there and spend time with people. So that's a lot of the outreach stuff that we do. And the prisons that we work with are both the male and the female prisons. We work in Northumberland, which is the second largest prison in the UK now, because they combine two prisons together, and Low Newton in Durham, which is a female prison. We get very involved. You'll see running through a lot of our DNAs, enterprise and education. And so in Low Newton, we run a card-making workshop that sells the cards within the prison, and the idea being that communication between women and their families is really key, and the only things that they could ever buy on their canteen, it's called, were these really horrible cards. So we thought this idea of doing craft with women, sort of sharing life stories while we did it, but also enabling them to sell them to other women within the prison so that they could then send out really nice things to their family. So it sort of fits all of that. And as you share life together, quite often you're sharing God's story in your own life and in their lives and what it's all about. And again, that's a bit of an outreach thing. And then obviously we do faith-based groups whenever we're doing so much outreach. That's Alpha and Discipleship. And so, you know, especially in the male prison, these groups are absolutely full. I think Colin was saying there's 20 in each one of his groups. It's like we're starting to look at group management now because there's so many people on waiting lists looking to do Alpha and hear about the God that changes lives. So that's what our kind of workers do in prison. They take in loads of volunteers because what we find is it only works whenever the faith community from the outside engages with the faith community inside, because people are part of a family. And so it's really important. We often, if we do the odd Sunday service with the chaplaincy, we take in a lot of volunteers just to show them, look, there's Christians on the outside. It's not what you thought it was necessarily. And it's that community engagement with the faith aspect that's really powerful for us. So again, as we look at what we do in the community, that's the next slide, it's pretty much the same. But it's just different things. It's the same heart. It's outreach, enterprise and education and faith. But we look at that in slightly different ways because it's in the community. And you all know Glynis, so I want to ask her to come forward. At this point, we normally show a video of Glynis, because but we won't because Glynis is here. So I just wanted to chat to Glynis because normally we'd show a video and it's about Glynis's involvement with Junction 42, but I thought she could tell us a little bit about that involvement in the community of what we've been doing.
Well, initially when I got asked to go along to Junction 42, it was just starting, and I was asked to go along to pray as an intercessor, to pray at the beginning of when it was first starting with the first Alpha course. And Leah said, just come and see how you find it. And that was the right place for me to be. It wasn't just praying. I got involved in the kids' lives, and then I was asked to mentor, and I mentored one of the girls called Natalie, who I've got to see now has actually got involved in the Bay Church. And I was talking to Alan Dickinson just a few weeks ago and just saying thank you, you know, that Natalie feels so at home in that church. He said, we are only doing a small part, she is doing her part as well, Glynis, and really finding her feet. So I was just so thankful to the Lord for that. But God's latterly been speaking to me about discipling, getting into the Word, and I've just been going back and back to the parable of the sower, and about the seed that fell along the path that the birds ate. And the disciples asked Jesus, you know, what did you mean with this when you're talking in parables? And I would just like to read the words he said. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown into his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. And that's very much where I am at the minute. I just feel that I need to get alongside these kids and disciple them, not teach them. I'm not a teacher, and I don't think I know masses about the Bible, but the little bit of knowledge that the Holy Spirit fills me with and strengthens me with, I'd just like to help these young people, because I do believe it's once they get into the Word that it makes such a difference to their lives. It gives them a guidance and a direction. So that's what I'm doing at the minute.
Brilliant, thanks. And I suppose one of the things that is the most powerful of what we do is, you know, long gone sort of the time of, like, let's get the sort of paid professionals to get in and evangelize and do that. What we're finding, the only thing that works is whenever we have people like Glynis or Nigel's, or there's so many people, and they tend to also be a lot of people who are almost like grandparents or parents themselves, are just willing to get alongside with these lads and lasses, and one day a week taking them out for coffee, teaching them about the Bible, praying for them. That is what's changing people's lives, the gospel in action. And that relationship, if you're chatting about people who have never been parented properly in a sense or never experienced that, it's awesome to have that in your life. And, you know, a lot of the times when we look at these situations, people have been through their ups and downs, but the one constant has been the likes of Glynis or Nigel or these other people who are just getting alongside. So it's a powerful thing. So the other stuff that we get involved, that's the mentoring and the outreach sort of side. And the enterprise and education side, you might have heard of chapter one. That came about because loads of the lads and lasses that we're working with, they were coming to faith, they were passionate about God, and they were helping other people, but there still was a frustration in us that people couldn't find jobs. So we thought, right, an opportunity came to take on a cafe for 11 months in Eldon Square, so we thought, right, let's just do it and see what happens. So we employed 17 people over that time. It was the most stressful thing I've ever done in my life, and I suddenly realised why this TV programme's normally made about this sort of thing. But it was awesome, and the outcomes were really good, and the whole idea of what's it like to actually have practical things working alongside this. So, you know, we absolutely love chapter one, and I think there's a little, the next slide's got a picture of some of the lads and lasses involved in that, yeah. But because Eldon Square was getting redecorated, it was always going to be a time-limited project, so we sort of looked at that idea of, you know, no matter how good it was, we only employed 17 people, there's such a big need out there, what can we do? And then we heard about CAP job clubs. It's Christians Against Poverty have developed a job club model. And so we thought, right, we want to go for that. And at the same time as we're looking at that, then John and Brenda sort of have a little bit of a story to share about what happened from that. If you just want to come up here. So John's actually my husband. But so do you two want to sort of say about how you first met years and years ago and what sort of happened since then and what you're doing now?
I first kind of met Brenda, I think it was about 14 years ago. She was part of a job club helping people back in employment. But before I met Brenda, I kind of came from a very troubled upbringing. So I was involved in criminality, drugs. And I kind of became a Christian and I wanted to change my life around. And Brenda was kind of helping us get a CV in place, even though I hadn't had a job at the time, so I didn't have any employment. So I was like, how is this going to work out? You know, how am I going to get a job? And I met Brenda, who's amazing, basically. So she kind of helped us. So I'm going to pass it over to Brenda and she'll explain.
I hope you can hear me. I'll explain my situation. I was working as a work finder for Newcastle City Council in the east end of the city. And outwardly, you would look at me and think there was a person whose life had come to a point with success. I came from a bit of a troubled background myself. I was in a good marriage. I had two healthy children. We lived in a really nice place called Tynemouth. I had a good wage. My husband had a good job. And you look at that and you go, ooh, that's sorted, isn't it? But if I cut to the quick, I'll give back to John in a minute. I was sitting at my desk one day and I met this very shy, quiet young man, which is probably not somebody the rest of us recognize. But when I was talking to him, he started to tell me about Alpha and about Jesus and what he'd done in his life. And from my point of view, looking at this young man, I saw that he had a freedom and a joy that I didn't know. And I was so moved. I heard myself say, I want some of that.
So it's an amazing story because at the time, Brenda saw the before and after of my life within a space of a week or two. And so obviously that spurred her to try and find God. But little been known to me, like Brenda lived in Tynemouth at the time. So we're saying you need to find an Alpha course somewhere across there. And obviously this church was doing an Alpha course. And Brenda became a Christian obviously through the Alpha course. God's got a sense of humour, that's all I say, because it obviously moved us over to Whitley Bay. And I used to keep bumping into Brenda in the supermarket. And going back to Junction 42, like my personal passion is the lads were coming up with or becoming Christians, but they can't get a job and they can't actually change their life on a day-to-day basis because they're not doing anything. They've got too much time on their hands and they need work, they need employment. With me, I went down the route where I set up my own business, which is local in the town. And we basically, the whole vision of this is we want to create enterprise for the lads. So we have a vision to set up 9 job clubs around the region, really help these lads, support them. It's going to be linked to something called Clean Sheet, as well, where they help ex-offenders back into employment and just kind of break this cycle of poverty over people's lives and that next phase, you know, for their life changed. Brenda, do you want to say anything else?
Well, we've done the Cap Job Club training, and we've also done the Clean Sheet training. And it's all very, very positive. And the fabulous thing for me is I'm being given an opportunity in my work, where my skills are, where my gifting is, to actually be able to proclaim the Lord. Whereas I've previously had to do my work without being overt about that, now I can actually work that in. And God creates everybody with a purpose. And it's about helping people to really dig deep and find out what that purpose is and to know what his gifting in their life is so they can move forward. It's not about how good we are, it's about how good God is and where he wants to take that. And can I just say one little thing about the Alpha course? It was really hilarious. God's not just got good timing, he's got such a sense of humor. Because that day when I spoke to John and he told me about Alpha, I came home to my house. And my youngest son came to my front door with his pal, Phil Hodge, and said, Phil's asked me if I want to do an Alpha course. And I just went, oh, yes, I've heard all about them. They're fantastic. Tell Philip's mom, no problem at all. And then I went back to doing what I was doing. And the telephone rang. And Christine Hodgson, who I do know, is on the other end. And she went, I hear you want to do an Alpha course. Really? Can I say the rest is probably history, but I really don't think, and I know this from scripture, because in scripture there is a verse that says God puts the alone in family, and I truly feel that God wanted me to come to this church to put me in this family, and I thank you all very much for being my church family. Thank you.
I'll just say one final thing. Also, the job club in Newcastle, the first one, starting on February the 13th, which is Friday the 13th. And we are looking for volunteers and mentors who will help the lads, you know, take them for coffee, help them go to a job interview. So we will, at the end of the service, if anyone wants to get involved, you can. You don't have to give loads of your time, an hour a week, if you can. But if anyone wants to get involved in this level of work, they can.
You can tell he's involved in sales, can't you? He always has to get it in. So if we can go back to the last slide, it's sort of the last bit of the jigsaw is, you know, we really, really believe God's in this job club, and the idea of that we're, you know, even the reason why we're using CAP is, again, because it's overtly a Christian job club, so we are going to be praying with the people who come and, you know, seeking God for them and things. But the last bit is in the community is faith. And for us, working out how to do faith in the community has been a long journey. And initially, we used to use a thing called Caring for Ex-Offenders, and it was this model of if someone came to faith in prison, you refer them to a mentor on the outside. And it used to do our heads in because it was too much like a dating agency, because quite often if the church and the individual was really, really keen, the lad was nowhere to be seen. Or the opposite was true, the lad was really, really keen and the training sort of on the other side didn't really kick in. So we just used to see people disappear. So what we thought is, why don't we create a thing called Connect? And what Connect is where we have created a space for people from the church to come and people from prison to come, and they meet, and organically these relationships are forming. So it's like this diverse community. And so we've now got three connects. There's one in Newcastle, there's one in Durham, and there's one in Sunderland. And the idea being we invite people from the churches to come and get alongside the lads and lasses and just let the relationships form. So that happens on a Tuesday night over food. But this is where I want Peter to talk about his little bit, and he's going to chat to James.
Yeah, Joanne said, I mean, Connect, the kind of cool start over the last sort of 3.5 years, so I'm full of cold. That's been absolutely incredible, you know, and we've been so privileged just to see, you know, people's lives transformed. But some of the people, you know, like guys I'm looking out here who God has drawn to be involved, you know, it's totally like something that God's done, you know, and it started from something really small, like a seed that was just planted, you know, and it's really exciting what's happening. And, you know, we've seen so many lives transformed in incredible ways. And so we just invited James. James is from County Durham, so he's travelled a bit today. And he can tell you a little bit about himself, but Kieran, my son, and a few other, Colin, and a guy called Billy, started some work in a hostel called The Fells in Chesley Street. And often when you go somewhere, there's one key person that God is calling, and that person has a big impact, and I'm kind of building him up. But James, you know, what we're hearing is, you know, he's given his life to God, but people are seeing the change in him, and that's having a knock-on effect, you know, in a lot of other people's lives, you know, and it's just really encouraging to see what God's doing in his life, but through him as well. So, is that all? Yeah, I'll just hand that to you.
Hi. Yeah, so, hi, I'm James. I'm very nervous, so you'll have to bear with us. My life, grew up, no religion whatsoever, just total little tear away, basically. Then I bumped into a little drug called cocaine, which basically took over my life. I had a family, 3 kids, which I worked up to, like, good job, and just lost it over this little drug, what people take on a Friday and Saturday night to get, like, a bit of fun, really. Yeah, but after a long battle with this little drug, I tried committing suicide over depression and stuff because I wasn't in a good place. And then I moved away to get off drugs, which then I've come back to the northeast because I missed my family, and that's where I met Peter, Kieran, Billy, and them. And you start going to Durham Connect and things, and then I give my life to God, and since then my life has just taken small steps. Everything's coming back into place. And recently I've gotten in house. I've seen my kids for the first time in nearly 9 months, and living in the Fells, I'm like new people coming in. I'm helping them along, and like showing them that drugs doesn't have to take over your life. Taking them along to Durham Connect. Taking them along to church with us on a Sunday morning, and just basically helping them, like how God's helped me. And I was baptised on the 30th of November, and it's the best thing I've ever done in my life. It was the biggest buzz I've ever had. So thank you. That's all I've got to say. Thank you. Thanks very much for your time.
Yeah. We were chatting in the car on the way up, and James, you were talking about like a situation where kind of, you know, you really, you know, discovered the change that God had made in you. Was it around Christmas? Do you want to just quickly say about that?
Yeah, well, it was just funny how it happened. I've never through me past, me ex obviously was for my best interests. She didn't used to let me see the children. And then there was someone who I helped in the Fells really bad. He was really bad on drugs. I helped him. I gave him a phone and stuff. Then he got out of the Fells and he bumped into one of me ex's relations. And he had like photos of my children on this phone. And they were like, how have you getting this? And like, all this like really, like obviously bigging us up. And that. This really nice man in the Fells helped us out. He's like, and explained to him. So that's how my ex got in touch with us to like let me see my kids again. So I just feel that was God, like, helping me out, saying thank you, and, yeah.
Okay, thanks very much.
So, I mean, it's a real privilege for us to come and share with you this morning, and I just want to say thank you so much to many of you already who get involved in this work, whether it's through giving to us, because many of you do, and or volunteering your time with us, as many as you do, and praying for us, as I'm looking at Nan there, who faithfully prays a lot. So, you know, we've kind of shared these stories and things, but we want to invite you to get involved as well, and not just to hear things, but actually be part of that change as well, and allow God to use you. I think we've got another slide, possibly, that will come up. No? Keep going. No? Okay, don't worry, it's fine. I'll explain it. It's funny, I was sat there earlier when Laura was sharing about the youth work, and I was kind of like, oh, no, do I have a gift in youth work? And I sort of felt myself like God saying, aren't you about to stand up and ask people to get involved in something? And I just thought, you know what, we so often dismiss our own skills and our own ability and think we can't get involved in something, or we're not suited to this, we're not suited to that. And I just felt challenged because, do you know what, actually God uses us whatever we give him, and we don't have to have any major skills in this area or that area, but actually God just wants to use us. So I'd just encourage you, if what you've got is a gift of prayer, or even if you just feel like God's put it on your heart to pray, please let us know, because we like to send out information for people to really faithfully pray, not just sort of, you know, theoretically, but give you ideas of situations that are going on, people that you can really pray for. So we have like a prayer network, so we send information out so you can really get behind the ministry with that and behind individuals. And we don't just leave it like that. We let you know what's been happening in those people's lives so you can be encouraged. We also ask people to partner with us financially, you know, and that's, we couldn't do what we do if it wasn't for the church and Christians giving to us. That allows us to keep the work that we do really missional, really focused on the gospel. So, you know, the prison pay us to do a certain amount of work with them, but they're not going to pay us to share the gospel with people. You know, we just accept that. But what we do say is, but we still have a gospel to share, and we still want to give faith to people. And the support that comes from Christians to allow us to do that is just amazing, and we want to keep that focus within the work that we do. And finally, just if you've got time and you want to get involved, then we would totally welcome you to come. And you don't have to come equipped, knowing what you're going to do, saying you can do this, that, and the other. Even if it's just that you're not really sure how, but you would like to, we've got loads of opportunities for you to come mentor somebody, come along to connect, be involved in the job club, anything like that. We would just really welcome you to come and speak to us at the end. And I've got quite a lot of information, so, and we train you up, we do everything, and we're there to support you as you might volunteer with us. So I just welcome you to come and speak to us at the end if that's you.
I'm just, Paul asked just if we'd kind of share a little bit of a word. And it's, we'll meet on a Friday, a group of us, and we kind of just pray and for each other and a bit of Bible study. And some of the guys were praying for me, and they said, you know, I had really planned to speak from Isaiah 42, and I've got my notes here. But some of the guys were praying, they really felt that God would give something on the morning that was a word from him. So when Paul, you know, put up our Rachel read from the sheep and the goats, obviously it's a really well-known passage, but it was really on, it was kind of on my heart, should I speak on that or not, but I wasn't going to. But I'm going to kind of refer to that now. So I've just been away in Ireland, and it gave me a chance to read a little bit, and I love a guy called Philip Yancey, he writes a lot of stuff. He's just written a book called Vanishing Grace. And in this book, you know, he's really looking at the American context of the kind of, you know, where Christianity's at in America, and he talks about post-Christians and people really who aren't interested in the gospel. Like, they don't see the gospel as good news. They see it as something that's like judgmental, or whether it's, you know, a misreading of how Christians are. It's a big perception of Christianity in the West, that it's a legalistic thing, that it's kind of moralizing. And he just refers to back to, you know, the early church. And he's talking about this guy who's a sociologist who wrote a book called The Rise of Christianity and the Triumph of Christianity. And what he's saying is, like, what was it marked out, the early church? Because the early church, as Paul was saying, took the words of Jesus, like, seriously. You know, when Jesus said things, he said, right, that's how we live, because we're following Jesus. And what he said was, you know, that when plague hit, Christians tended the sick, including non-believing neighbors, whereas pagans forsook them as soon as the first symptoms appeared. Many church leaders died, in fact, after contracting the illnesses of those they were nursing. When Romans abandoned their unwanted babies to exposure and wild animals, Christians organized platoons of wet nurses to keep them alive for adoption by church families. In the waning days of the empire, the watching world sat up and paid attention. People flocked to the churches, which stood out as caring communities. A 4th century Roman emperor, known as Julian the Apostate, great name, complained bitterly about Christians of his time. These impious Galileans not only feed their own poor, but ours also. Whilst the pagan priests neglect the poor, the hated Galileans devote themselves to works of charity. His campaign against the Christians failed, and the gospel continued to spread while the Roman power ebbed. And you know, that's the birth of, you know, the faith that we're part of, that we is our inheritance. But what started to happen then was as the church gained in numbers, then they started to mirror the power that they had opposed. Not that they had opposed, but they'd stood as a contrast to, you know, and they created their own structures and built their own big buildings and wore the robes of power that they saw in the Roman Empire. And I passionately don't believe that was ever what Jesus intended. Jesus was a peasant preacher. You know, he had no home, nowhere to lay his head. And it's interesting, this, you know, the cycle of the church ever since is that, you know, Christians present an attractive counterculture, you know, something that stands out against the values of society. You know, feed the poor, visit those in prison, you know, clothe the naked, you know, care for those who are struggling. And people look and they go, that's different. You know, that's something different. But then as it grows, you know, we rely on our own strength, our own power, and we create programs a lot of time, and we professionalize things, and that's not all bad. But then what happens is somebody else is doing that and we're not doing that. You know, the welfare state's there, so, you know. But I believe it, that God's bringing, there's a cycle of change that's in the hearts of people, is rising up this desire to see society, you know, like reach out to those on the margins. And you know what is it? That you can read that passage as being quite condemning, you know. Well, if I don't do these things, then God's going to judge me. He's not going to be pleased with me. But it's not that at all. Jesus was saying, this is how you'll show. You know, the good news of the gospel. The good news of the gospel brings a revolution when we reach out in little acts of kindness and caring. It's not about programs. It's not about looking at people like Junction 42, oh, they're doing that stuff. You know, that's what's so exciting about Connect, is it's a group of people who are growing, and you can see lives being restored. And as James shared, you know, his life being restored then brings restoration in other people's lives. It has a knock-on effect. The gospel grows. You cannot stop it. You know, when this good news gets out there and we just live this radical life in little ways, there's nothing to stop it. And people start to see. You know, you guys, it's really exciting. You know, your focus this year is in reaching out. But you don't have to set up big programs. You just have to get that radical gospel in your heart and live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Because it isn't anything we can do in and of ourselves. You know, it's just good works. You know, and Joanne was saying that we're totally gospel-focused. Because without the message of the gospel, without the power of the Holy Spirit, good works are good works, but it doesn't bring transformation in people's hearts. It doesn't turn their lives around so you look and go, people just go, that is amazing, that person's life. And what we're starting to see is it's not just one or two testimonies. What we're seeing is loads, you know, loads of people's lives transformed. And obviously there's challenges as we all walk our walk with God, but I do really, really believe that this is something much bigger than what we're seeing. This is something that God's calling his church back to. Because the history of the church has always gone in cycles, and I believe we're at a point, you know, where God's saying, you know, there's a radical way to live. There's a way that people will just come. We don't have to strive. You know, God wants us to live out our Christian walk from a place of rest, not from a place of strive. And that was always his intention. You know, he doesn't want us to be burdened by guilt because we don't do enough. We don't live under judgment and condemnation. We live under grace, mercy. You know, that's the Jesus that we follow. Just pray before I hand over to Paul. Father God, I thank you that you've entrusted us with this precious gospel. that is such good news, not just to physically poor, and it is good news to them, Father, but it's good news to everybody, Father. Like Brenda was sharing, that good news, how it changed her life. Father, I just thank you that you call us as one people through one Spirit, following one Lord Jesus. And Father, I just pray you would stir us, not just now, but tomorrow and throughout the week, and just let us see where you're working, Father, and see where your gospel is at work, where your gospel is being spread, Father, and just know that you call each of us in our own place, in our own way, to be part of that. Amen.
Don't go, just stay here. I just want to give I think it's been really well worth listening to this morning. If I was Robert Ward, I would say that Junction 42 does something quite extraordinary. But it does. And it's great to think this is something, it's linked with Youth for Christ and has been come out of the ministry of Youth for Christ in the Northeast and goes on. I'd like everybody who's involved in Junction 42, one way or another, to just come up here and join this lot, because there's a whole load of you. Nan, we'll let you just stay where you are. Okay. But I knew there were one or two people here. You stand up as well. Because I want to pray for them. I want to pray for Junction 42, but they're here as representatives of Junction 42. And I'd like to just invite you to extend your hands towards them as we pray God's blessing on them. We thank you for the work of Junction 42. We thank you for the lives that are being touched, not just lives of offenders, but the lives of those who interact with them, their partners, their children, their families. Lord, the circles of transformation just grow and grow and grow when the gospel is planted. And we thank you for that. And we thank you for the vision that you have given these people and the love for you that they've planted in their heart that they don't just want to keep for themselves, but they want to share. And I thank you, Lord, that I'm sure there are people here this morning who are seeing something of your call and wondering what they can do to get alongside with this work. So we just pray, Lord, that you will continue to lead those who are already highly committed to Junction 42, but lead those who sense that they ought to be, and show them how that can happen, and let them take advantage of the fact that these people are here this morning and they can talk with them and share with them and listen to them. So we ask it in Jesus' name. Come, Holy Spirit, and bless, we pray. Amen. Yeah, you can go now. And can I just say, trendy art. Very good shot. But it's been great to have you here.